Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, and it's the 11th of March. And this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook. But first, we're just going to have a quick look at the week. Well, and quite a week it has been, hasn't it? With all sorts of gyrations. And I don't think we can really blame Mario Draghi for part of that. He's a star in my book among central bankers. But certainly the market showed its nervous tendencies and also some gusto in here. So we had some, it's been exciting. Well, if you feel it's been exciting, then you are a good, resilient soul, and more power to you. Okay. Now, what happened here? Just a quick look at the day. Here, the Asian stock markets were firm overall. I see the best gain looks like the China Enterprise Index, but the Hang Seng was also up. That was at 1.68%, and the Hang Seng was up over 1%. Most indices were higher in the Asia Pacific area, so the rally continues, although we didn't see much of a rally yesterday, did we? Nice bounce back, though, in the European indices here today. That was farcical, the way they all went plummeting down shortly after rallying very sharply. But here we go. A lot of gains. Well, Italy up 4.8%. Spain up 3.69%. The DAX index, Germany, up over 3.5%, 3.47 on the Euro Stoxx 50, so you get the picture. UK up 1.71%. Wall Street had a good day in here today. It swung around a little bit, but ended very close to the highs here. It might actually be on the highs. The Dow up 218, it's up 1.28%. The S&P 500 up 1.64%, and the NASDAQ Composite up 1.85%. That's good leadership, just showing the more speculative indices doing a little bit better than the heavyweight Dow. Impressive. To say the least. Now, elsewhere, the dollar index. Well, I think the U.S. Treasury and the Fed have got that under control, and hopefully they won't let it out of their sights. But it's a little higher here today, but it's at 96.24. So almost comfortably below that 100 level. And we certainly don't want to see that taken out. Also, in the currencies here, mostly a somewhat quieter day. The euro's down a tad at 1.1148. The Australian dollar picked up on some good commodity action, 0.7565. Sterling is also firm at 1.4378, so decent performance. And the yen has weakened here to 113.80 against the U.S. dollar, so that shouldn't hurt markets on Monday morning. Excuse me. Now. Elsewhere in commodities, we had metals mostly higher. Copper at up 1.3 cents, and the palladium is almost at 5.75. Silver a little bit lower at 15.51. That's down almost 4. Platinum has weakened, though. The big rally back, it was good for the industrial metals, but not the precious metals. Platinum is down almost 15 at 962.9. And gold down $23.6 to $12.4865. You remember my point about fear there, that fear has to be intensifying to keep pushing them up. So they had a good day yesterday, but giving up most of it today. All right, and let's take a longer term look at what's going on here. Now, there's a bit of a debate going on about whether this is a bear market or not, and I think if you've lived through it, it feels like a bear market. That's my view at any rate. But I'm working on an article just called Wall Street Oldie But Goodie, where I have a chart that was produced by the S&P Capital IQ group and the Wall Street Journal, or maybe they're sort of one and the same, but they've cooperated on this. And they're saying that Wall Street is experiencing its third longest bull market. They didn't say over what time period, but I surmise presumably in modern history. And that's interesting, but I just take this issue of, is this still a bull market? Well, I don't want to be a tedious stats wonk, but you know, most people define a bear market as starting with that arbitrary 20% fall. That's a little bear market, obviously. But if we look at the indices that we have on Wall Street, or most of them at any rate, or certainly the more important ones, so far in this overall decline, now we're well off the lows, as you know, but the decline from top to its subsequent lows for the Dow is 21.69%. The Dow Transport Average is down similarly over 27%. Russell 2000 down 27.25%. The NASDAQ 100 just qualifies for the arbitrary 20% decline. But however, the NASDAQ composite index has only fallen 19.54, and the S&P, well, a comparative tower of strength. It's only seen a decline of 15.21%. So you can take what you want out of that. But I would also add that this looks worse than 2011, not only because it's from higher levels, but the in 2011, even though the S&P fell below 20%, I think it was only on an intraday move, as I recall, it didn't drag so much else down. Whereas this time, we've seen iconic Apple, that's certainly experienced a bigger bear market decline, and not to mention the previously sector-leading NASDAQ Biotechnology Index. So my own feeling is that this is certainly, for Wall Street, is certainly a cyclical bear market. That generally means smaller overall. And I maintain that we don't have the factors to create a secular bear market. A secular is the very big bear markets. 2008, that's a heck of a big secular bear market, and 2000 was pretty bad as well. I don't think we have anything like the background to cause that to happen. And also, we've got mostly accommodative monetary policies. And yes, the Fed is, we have somewhat of a Fed tightening, but it's pretty minimal here overall. And the Fed would very much like to see the stock market higher. Bull markets, as veteran subscribers will know throughout history, are usually killed off by central banks. and they kill them off because inflation is too high, markets are overheating, the economies are overheating, and so they tighten and bring it to an end. Well, I think it would be an exaggeration to say that the market's overheating. Although valuations certainly did improve with the QE following the 2008 lows, we certainly don't have any kind of statistical inflation to worry about. We also it's a benign environment, and also the low level of crude oil. Well, that's just a huge boost for consumers generally, and also any businesses that use quite a bit of oil. So I think my point is there isn't a case for a secular bear market here. And yeah, people panic from time to time. I've written about that in the last couple of days. Written about it on over decades, but markets are volatile. They're scary. They're not some wise, competent, godlike figures at all. You know, some people become regard markets with an almost religious fervor. You know, that it knows whether you've been good or bad, et cetera, like that awful song. And that Christmas song, and they say that the the market represents the composite wisdom of all the people participating in it. Come on, it's just a disorderly mob when you get an environment like we've been in for the last few months, and sometimes it's shooting for stars unrealistically, only to fall back and search for foxholes. Usually unrealistically so as well. So, I'll stick to it. I've said it, this is a cyclical bear market, but we've had a good recovery. So that raises the question, is the cyclical bear market over? I think that would be premature to conclude that, but I think we've established a trading range, which I had predicted earlier on. And I think we'll probably stay in that trading range for a while longer. Will one or two indices just push up above the high? Well, they could, but are they going to push through the highs and then run to the upside? I'd be very surprised if that happened. Is this an environment where investors should be completely out and on the sidelines? Well, you may feel that way and follow your instincts, not to mention keep a close eye on the charts. But I think that it's a market where we're seeing a lot of rotation, shifting. For instance, technology, a lot of technology is taking a beating. There are still some techie companies that are holding out very, very well, and that's because it's such an important sector in this era of accelerating technological innovation, which also accelerating technological innovation. Great for the companies that are to the fore, but it also means rapid obsolescence if you start to fall behind. But very exciting here overall. Okay, what's going to happen? Well, I've said I think we'll see more ranging here overall. We have certainly seen some severe bear markets, none more so than what we saw with the resources markets. But I'm encouraged by the fact that we see evidence that these commodity markets are bottoming out. We see technical evidence of that. It's not conclusive. It's only conclusive with hindsight when markets are much, much higher. But we also see the necessary components for a recovery, or at least a partial recovery in commodity markets, and those are supply cutbacks. I've always said the supply is the big variable here in commodity markets, and we've just had an orgy of supply because people thought a couple of years ago that China was going to go on consuming every commodity that was ever produced. Well, that was what people wanted to believe. And we also know that technology has been absolutely fantastic and improved the ability, particularly of these miners, and oil drillers. You know, the ability to find and refine a mine is very, very efficient. So supply is the problem, not so much demand. I mean, demand eased somewhat, but we certainly haven't seen any slump in demand, although China has consumed less. Okay. Now, what happens over the more medium term? And I'm just going to take the headset off here for a quick second and just have a little cough and a drink here so that I don't be too croaky. Hold on. Okay, what about that somewhat longer period, the next few markets? Well, you may recall some of my earlier forecasts, and I'm talking about two, 3 years earlier, just saying that when we got to the stage where the global economy was improving, that and it would probably be gradually, that when the global economy was improving, that it would be a transitional phase, which the U.S. is going through, where it wants to raise interest rates a little bit, get back to more of a normal monetary policy environment. We're not quite there yet, although we're in the foothills of it, certainly for the U.S., and other countries will follow over the next few years. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if we didn't see a fair amount of ranging. It could easily last the rest of this year and beyond. That's not a disaster, far from it. And if that does happen, I think we will see valuations generally improving with the help of sensible policies on the part of corporations. I don't think they're going to be too rash. And also with the help of further technological innovation, those are all good signs. I think it's important to see oil prices somewhat further because that situation has been desperate, and weak oil producing countries are a major drag on the global economy here right now. I've also been concerned about selling from sovereign wealth funds, so on. These are all a lot of factors here that could keep markets within ranges overall. On a longer term basis, and I go back to, if this is still a bull market, as the Wall Street Journal and the S&P were saying, we get cyclical bear phases within within secular bull markets, but the only two bull markets that are longer were clearly within secular bull trends. So what's going on here? Could that same situation actually apply today? And if I look at them, for instance, I'll produce a graph of this. The October 1990 to 2000, well, that was the end of the last secular bull market. In months, it carried on for, this is Wall Street now, it carried on for 113 months. Then we had the June 1949 period to August 1956. That was the end of the last of the previous secular bull market, which started after that post-World War II period. And that was up for 86 months. Well, our March 2009 to present, 7 years to the upside, 84 months. So that's not far off second place here overall. And a number of these other long bull markets have occurred within secular bull markets. So that moves me on smartly to my theme of recent years to say that, yes, we would go through some turbulent swings, some difficult economic conditions overall, but we'd had the big damage in 2000 with that secular bear trend, and then again in 2008, reminiscent really of declines that we saw during the 1970s. And that at the end of the day, we would, or at the end of that process, we would come out and see clear evidence that we were in another secular bull market. And I've said that this secular bull market will be led by the accelerating rate of technological innovation, which is hugely important. We've not seen anything like it in human history, of course. And it is also led to, or is leading to, I should say, cheaper energy prices. Now, a lot of that depends on politics, but already the United States has scored well with its lower energy costs. Some countries have been spending maybe a little bit too much on expensive windmills. I don't want to get I don't want to go off on a tangent on that point, but or look at the UK here with this fortune that they're sort of spending for this French Chinese built these nuclear reactors. So you know, energy prices are not going to come down across the boards with a bump unless you drive an automobile, and that's your major cost. But of course, we also have heating and lights and everything else. Okay. But over the long term, it's technology, and technology then leads to lower energy prices over time. And I think every decade, my forecast here, and I wish I could live long enough to see it, is that every decade for the rest of this century and beyond, we will see cheaper energy costs on average at the end of the decade than at the beginning of the decade. So energy costs becoming progressively lower. How could that possibly be if we use up all the oil? Well, we won't use up all the oil, but we won't need to either. But solar will be awesome, and we will also have at some stage, probably on the far side of mid-century, we'll have nuclear fusion. But clearly, the energy picture is very attractive, I think, going forward. I maintain going forward. Now, then we also have the pretty well total dominance of capitalism. You've got to go to places like North Korea to get out of a capitalistic environment. And that is good for global GDP growth. So is the rise of the global middle classes that we see. And that's those are bullish themes. We haven't had those in other secular bull trends. Now, okay, moving on. What about government bonds? Well, today those U.S. 10-year treasuries, so the yields back up to 1.98. So the deflation, recessionary collapse fears that drove them down so low only, gosh, a little over a month ago, Well, that's those fears are fading. I think bond investors, well, my hat's off to them. I say that in all these big picture audios because they've done very well. But, that's been one of the great secular bull markets, and these things do end. And certainly, if you're at all optimistic about global GDP growth improving over the next few years, and I am, it'll do it gradually. But put it this way, 5 years from now, will the global economy be stronger than it is right now? My view is, well, many people would say no, because they just go on predicting what they see. My view is it'll be considerably stronger. And if that's the case, then government bond yields, instead of being at 1.98, they're going to be more like 3 to 4%. And that means some big losses here for people who are overweight in bonds. And we've already seen some problems with some of the corporate bonds. So I remain very cautious in that as far as that sector is concerned. What about currencies? Really, so many countries just want to keep their currencies soft. Those include the United States, but that the United States has the genuine fundamental background for a stronger currency, and it certainly has seen the first upward leg of that stronger currency. The Fed will try to keep it in a trading range for well beyond the end of this year. I certainly hope they do. I hope they persist with that goal. But I think we have long-term recovery scope in the U.S. dollar, not least because of the technology lead in the U.S. and not least because of the effective energy independence. They still import a lot of crude oil, but if that was cut off, they could support themselves with their own energy, or they could supply their own energy requirements, I should say. And so in terms of currencies, again, it's usually who has the best GDP growth, and that generally causes a stronger currency to develop. But it's, as I said, it's really the U.S. versus the rest here right now, and I think other countries will want to make sure their currencies do not appreciate too much, just as the Fed is actually doing. I think that the resources currencies, which fell dramatically, will recover a little bit further, and then just stabilize and range. We might actually have a somewhat dull environment in currencies, and that would be no bad thing overall. What about commodities? I think that again, the commodity cycle is in a bottoming out process. And the factor that I just mentioned very briefly earlier on, we see the supply cutbacks. We see those increasingly, and that's the key variable, supply. So I think we'll see more supply cutbacks, and somewhat higher prices overall. And those somewhat higher prices will lower some of the deflationary fears, and that will help the resources producing economies. And so that's not too bad a script. What do I worry about? I think the EU, you know, one could talk for days on this, but I think the, you know, love Europe, but the European Union is a sad a failure, in my opinion. And So I think that may well continue to be a drag on the global economy going forward. As long as it isn't too convulsive of a breakup or separation, then it won't be something that will be entirely unexpected, and it won't be something that we can't cope with here. Okay, and I think that's pretty much it overall in my views. Well, just talk a little bit more about these precious metals. Remember, fear has been the main driver. I think negative interest rates help to bring back a bit of confidence in precious metals. I wouldn't want to have over 5% in a portfolio. And I think I'd... I'll just stop there. I wouldn't want to have over 5% of assets in the precious metals. I think the ones I'd choose would be certainly the two most clearly monetary metals, gold and silver. If you're very bullish of precious metals, and some people are, be overweight in silver, because that would eventually take over the running. At least that's what's happened in every other bull market in precious metals. And I think also platinum. Platinum's interesting because platinum usually trades at a premium to gold. And in here today, although platinum's picked up a little bit, it's at $965, whereas gold is at $1,251. And on that note, expect more excitement, but probably a little more. We'll see the upper side of some of these resistance levels tested here during the rest of this month, I suspect. And on that note, have a fantastic weekend. All the very best to all.